All right. Here's the deal. So over the next couple of weeks, my goal is to just literally inspire those of you that are followers of Christ to do something that you need to do, that we all need to do, and have this experience that we've been waiting for that is important to happen on Easter Sunday. And it's an uprising of people that are coming to check out who Jesus Christ is. So if you're new today, like, I want you to just listen as if you were like, okay, this is what these people who follow Jesus, this is kind of what drives them, what motivates them, and this is their plan to reach people over the next couple weeks, and it's critical. So hang in with us. I'm going to teach you something and teach our insiders some new things about how important it is to have a burden for people who don't typically come to church, and more importantly, who don't have a relationship with the God who loves them so much. Last week, after the message, I ended a series, DTR, and I talked about the real heart of marriage. And on Monday, I got an email from a girl who said, yesterday, I woke up, and for some reason, God gave me a burden to come to 514 Church. And she said, I've been listening online and I just felt that today I needed to be present. I needed to be in the room. And so she proceeded to get in her car and drive 2 hours from Toledo to come to 514 Church because she just had this burden and she had this desire that God had placed inside of her. And when she got here, she heard a message about marriage that she needed to hear because her parents are going through a divorce and she's struggling dramatically with it. And she sent an email and said, all I can tell you is that I just knew I was supposed to be there. And then what I heard that day was exactly what God needed to tell me that day. And it's been refreshing, she said. It's been helpful. It's something that's going to give me the skills that I need and give me the heart that I need to help my parents and to help my family through this difficult time. And I was just blown away. I was blown away by how God orchestrated that moment, how she woke up with a burden, how that burden led her to come to church, and how it was like something so specific for her that she needed in that moment that basically filled her up with a divine piece of information, divine inspiration, just a moment for her that was going to get her through whatever it was that she was going through. And here's what I believe. I believe that God, at certain times with every single one of us who follow him, that he gives us burdens to change the world. I mean that. I believe that God, at times, he gave you the Holy Spirit if you're a follower of him. It says in the scriptures that when you accept Christ, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, that it actually richly dwells inside of you, that it sets up like a living space inside of you, and it starts to make itself comfortable, and it starts to move into your life, and he starts to drive you and lead you. And God did not give the followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, so that when he stirs them up with a burden, they could sit back and not listen to it. He gave them and you and me, he gave us a burden so that we would go do something that's outside of the ordinary so that we could affect people who need affected with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. And what happens is if you're like this girl, you have moments in your life where God gives you clarity around what you're supposed to do. God gives you a burden. God gives you a passion. Another word for burden is trouble. You feel troubled. You can't sleep. You feel overwhelmed. You feel pressure to do something. But as soon as that burden comes, and as often as that burden comes, so come excuses not to move and act as a result of that burden. And this girl could have said, you know what? Like, I can just listen. God's going, you need to go. You need to go. You need to go down there. You need to be in the service. Like, I'm moving in your heart. Like, I'm giving you this. Like, go. And she could have been like, no, I don't want to spend any money on gas. No, it's cold. No, what if it's like a big setup and a letdown? No, I don't have that kind of time. If I drive 2 hours down, then I have to drive 2 hours back. And what happens is every single one of us, God gives us burdens at times. And we wrestle over and over again with the excuses that are getting in the way of God's burden. And his burden is designed to bring life change. And he is never the one who gets in the way of us stepping out and acting on those burdens. We are. Circumstances are. We decide for whatever reason to let our excuses get in the way. But when you have a God-sized burden, when you have something that you know is from God, what I want you to do is I want you to let the burden of God bury those excuses. I want you to go with me on a journey over the next couple of weeks where you are going to put aside every reason you possibly could to go and do what God has called you to do. Let me ask you this question. When is the last time that you had a burden for people? I mean, where like you lost sleep, you felt so overwhelmed by the reality that people need to know and follow Jesus Christ. When is the last time that you really, your heart and your mind, your soul, your time was just overwhelmed with people who don't know Jesus, don't have a relationship with Jesus, don't follow Jesus? When is the last time that you felt that type of pressure? And what did you do about it? And if you didn't do something about it, why didn't you do something about it? What was the excuse? Do you think that God has given you that burden so you can just shove it to the side? Or do you think that maybe that burden has been entrusted to you by God so that you can be a part of life change? Maybe you can be a part of an uprising of people who are responding to a burden that's been trusted to people to carry out. I'm going to take us over the next couple weeks. We're going to take you to John chapter 4, and I'm going to show you one spot in John chapter 4 today where we look at the burden of Jesus Christ. But as you go throughout these next couple weeks, I want you to open up this passage. Like, find an app on your phone. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. Go dust a Bible off and read John chapter 4. Read the whole thing. What happens in this passage is that Jesus is in essentially Jerusalem, and he travels 90 miles north to Galilee, but along the way, he makes a stop, and he has an encounter with a woman, and this encounter with a woman is very different. It's very out of the ordinary, and as a result of that interaction and that conversation that he has, her life gets changed. And she goes and shares the relationship and the conversation that she had with Jesus with everyone whom she loves. And because of that, a lot of people from her town believe in Jesus. And it all starts when Jesus exemplifies for you and for me this burden and how this burden drove him to do the one thing that he knew he needed to do so he could be a part of changing the world, and every single one of us is supposed to do the same thing. In John chapter 4, verse 4, this is how the story starts out. We're going to look at one simple verse today, and I'm going to challenge you to think about people completely differently. It says this in John chapter 4, verse 4. It says, now he had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. In the original language, this Greek idea was that he had to go, and the word is broken up. It's I must and I need to go to Samaria. In this passage, Jesus describes to his disciples on a 90-mile journey from Jerusalem to Galilee, no, I absolutely have to go to this place. I need to go. In other words, Jesus is going, I absolutely have a plan, I have an idea, I have a heart, I have a passion, and I am gonna go to this specific place to have a specific conversation. And it's my burden. It's my heart. And so he starts with a burden for this woman that he eventually talks to. And when he says that, you need to understand that as soon as he says, guys, hey, we got to go back up. We got to go back up to the Galilee in that region. When he says, guys, I've got to go through Samaria. We have to go through Samaria. At that moment, his burden gets met with excuses. You see, Samaria was the last place that the disciples wanted to go. And the idea of Samaria, it brought up a bunch of reasons not to carry out that burden, which is the same thing that happens to every single one of us. We get this burden, and then we have excuses. And Jesus had a litany of excuses to not go to Samaria. In Jesus' culture, in his day, men would not talk to their wives in public. Men would not talk to their wives. Now, Jesus knows, I got to go talk to this woman. And in the culture, men don't even talk to their wives. On top of that, men never talk to other people's wives. On top of that, men never talk to other people's wives or women who are not part of the same echelon or the same part of society as he is, as they are. So the excuses start to line up for Jesus. I'm not supposed to talk to a woman. Even husbands don't talk to women. I'm not supposed to talk to someone that's not my wife. And I'm not supposed to talk to someone who is basically a fisherman's wife or in agriculture. That right there is, he should never have a conversation. And all the people around him, if they saw him having a conversation with this woman, would have gone, what is he doing? He should not be doing that. When he goes to Samaria, he ends up in a place that, according to Jews, is destroying the purity of the Jewish religion. So he's not only not supposed to talk to women or other people's wives or women that are in a lower part of society, he's not supposed to, and Jews hated Samaritans because Samaritans were part of the Jewish kind of world, Israel. Well, they got dragged away and they got taken into exile and they got to be forced into marrying and sleeping with and having children with other races. So when the Samaritans came back to Samaria, they brought in a bunch of false gods that weren't the God of Israel. And so they would continue to marry non-Jewish people. And to the Jews in Jerusalem, they viewed Samaritans as every time they had a child, every time they married, every time their population grew, it was hurting the gift and the purity of the Jewish race. And so when they would see them, they would be like, those people are destroying our culture. And so Jesus says to the disciples, I have to go through Samaria. And they're going, Samaria? Those people are your enemy. Those people are hurting us. Those people are stealing from us. Those people don't love us and we don't love them. In fact, the Samaritans went on to build their own mountain to worship their own gods. And so the Jews are like, look, man, we have Jerusalem, we have the temple, we worship God here, this is us, they're over here destroying us. Why would you ever want to go and talk to this woman? I mean, the excuses just keep on going. As soon as he gets, and you can read this story, as soon as he gets to this Samaritan woman, we find out that this Samaritan woman is not only Samaritan, she's not only someone that's part of agriculture. She's not only someone that's poor. She's not only someone that's obviously not related to him. She also, as we read, and we'll talk about more throughout the series, we find out that she has a horrible reputation, basically for being promiscuous sexually. And there's a lot of different authors that think that meant a lot of different things, but the bottom line is that of all the people who Jesus Christ should be talking to, it was not the Samaritan woman at the well. You're not supposed to even talk to your wife in public, let alone someone else's wife, let alone someone who is poor, let alone someone from Samaria, let alone a woman with an ill reputation. Excuse, 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 a reason not to talk to her. He had them all, and he says, no, I'm going to talk to her. I'm going to talk to her. I don't care what people think. I don't care what the traditions are. This woman and these people, they need me. And I believe that if you have clarity around the burden of God, that your burden, it buries excuses. I just want to take this to where you are right now. Because every single one of us are called, we are supposed to be burden bearers. We're supposed to be the ones who bring the message. We're supposed to be the ones who share the love of Christ. And you're sitting there and you're going, yeah, that was good for Jesus. And yeah, that was good in that time. But my context, there's no way that I'm going to talk to my coworker at wherever, at any corporation. There's no way I'm going to talk to him. No way I'm going to talk to someone that I work with at Bob Evans about Jesus. There's no way I'm going to talk to someone who I sell tires with about Jesus. It's just, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that kind of annoying. I don't want to be the evangelical. It's an election year, and evangelicals have this bad stigma. And what you can do right now is if you take that burden and you know you're supposed to bring the love of Christ to people, you, if you're honest, you can come up with a whole list of reasons not to do it. But I guarantee your list is nothing compared to Jesus's, and he did it anyway. And of course, I'm not saying that you need to do it and have the same attitude as Jesus and that you should be able to figure that out. It's a challenge. It is difficult, isn't it? As a pastor, there are times when I feel ashamed to kind of tell people that I'm a pastor. There are times when I'm like afraid to bring that burden to the forefront of an interaction because I think at a moment's time, I could be dismissed and then I could be misunderstood and then the people around me would see and I go, oh man, I missed out on this. And what I want to do for you guys is somehow strike a balance that regardless of the excuses, your burden should overcome that and that you should have a desire to bring the message of Christ to people some way, somehow. I had this happen the other day. I was at the gym and somebody asked me a question about something they saw on social media of our church. Hey, what's going on with this thing? And someone that wasn't a part of the conversation goes, what's going on with that thing, that event at the church? Da, 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 and I made a comment about it. And right then, I was like, I should engage this person further about our church. Like, this person I know needs to be a part of 514 Church. And there was a person that I was there at the gym with that's a member of our church. And this person asked, and I said, oh, it just has something to do with our church. And I had this kind of like I had this fear of coming on too strong. I mean, come on, don't we all, like, if we're honest, like, if we believe in Jesus, like, we live in a world of moral relativity and theological relativity where we kind of, you know, believe, and really what we believe is that we're not supposed to put our beliefs in front of someone and say, you should have this, because in a sense, that's almost rude to assume that someone needs what you have, or to say, in a sense, what I have is better. My relationship with God is better. Because then it makes me look arrogant, or then it makes us look evangelical, and that has this awful stigma. And regardless of all of that, there has to be a world we live in where knowing Jesus Christ, Him and His love, is so important that the burden should give us the wisdom to reach through the excuses and somehow engage people with the story of Christ. And if you're just honest with me today, you'll just sit in this room and go, okay, it is difficult. I don't want to do it. I have a lot of excuses. But I got to figure this out because the burden is real. Because what hangs in the balance as a follower of Christ is eternity. Eternity. And how do we synthesize our belief in someone who the scriptures teach, if they don't know Christ, they're separated from God for eternity? And how does God's burden move in our hearts so that we can be a part of someone's new direction? For me, what it is it's putting my mind on people and figuring out a way to engage people so that they will be interested, so that they will have a spot, so they'll have an opportunity to know Christ and for it to be authentic. And if you can just agree with me that that's the goal, that we can have authentic interactions with people, that we can genuinely care about people, that we move towards them, we pray and we care, then you and I are going to be a part of change in someone's life, and that is a reason enough to do this. And what I have found is that when you focus on people and you focus on the burden, it really starts to make all the excuses get smaller. And here's just some things that I've learned when I start to think about people and I think about the burden, and it helps me break through the excuses. What burdens do is they calm your nerves. You see, oftentimes, like, I'm afraid, like, I get nervous, right? I get nervous to talk to somebody. You know, I heard one of my favorite preachers of all time, he's old school, but Charles Stanley, he was teaching something about speaking, and he said that a lot of times as a speaker, as a pastor, and this is true of me, that I'll stand up here and I get nervous. And I'm like, and you can ask any one of the people that get up here on stage, like even Kevin, like this morning, he was like, dude, I'm going to set up this thing about the cross. And like, I could just tell, like, he was going to try something, he was going to be nervous. And like, there are times when I'm up here and I'm like, there's new people here. Like, am I zipped up? Like, I'm nervous. Like, I get nervous. Like, I get a little bit, I get butterflies in my belly. Like, I just get a little bit like, ooh. I get nervous because I'm like, what are they going to think? And do I have the stuff to say? And oh man, it's like, it's weird about speaking up here. It's like, it's on. Like, I can't just stand up here for 5 minutes and figure out what I'm going to say. You guys are here and it's time to talk. And so I got to go. And so I get a little bit nervous. But what happens is here's how I calm my nerves. And here's how you can calm your nerves when you need to engage somebody is, and for me, what I do when I'm up here is I think about one person with their clothes off. Just kidding, that's not what I do. Did they ever tell you how you calm your nerves to think about everybody naked? Well, I gotta stop that right now. I can't see you all anyway. It would be like a 1970s disco nakedness anyway. So, but like, I think about one person who is in this room right now, who if they don't know Jesus Christ, tomorrow for them will be awful. They will be awful. That's how I calm my nerves. Do you know that, like, Your story and the burden that God has given you is designed to change someone's eternity, and it's designed to change someone's every day. And you might be nervous to have a conversation with them, but that conversation that leads to an interaction with Jesus could seriously, unlike anything else, change someone's Monday morning. Makes me go, okay. My nerves start to go away. Charles Stanley said this: if you're thinking about you, you're going to be nervous and anxious. If you're thinking about someone else, it's impossible to be anxious. You start to think about someone else, your mind moves and your nerves calm. You got to start to think about people. Burdens bury excuses by calming our nerves, by casting out fear. Man, like, I am afraid sometimes to talk to people about Jesus. Like, I get afraid. Like, for some of the reasons I've mentioned, that someone might go, man, he's just an evangelical. He's just a preacher. Man, he's so narrow-minded. I get afraid of rejection. I'm sorry. Like, I am afraid of being rejected sometimes. I'm afraid of saying the wrong thing. I'm afraid of, like, saying one thing and then they hear it and they put me in a category with everybody else whom they disregard. And I get scared. But burden takes away my fear. Because what burden does is it basically, in so many words, it wraps up every person who's separate from Jesus with this word called love. And the Bible says that love covers sin and that love casts out fear. And so when I start to think about people, I have to get away from being afraid of how they're going to respond and think, I love this person. I want something for this person. I hope that this person has real life change that only Jesus can bring them. And I get confident. I get confident. Another thing that having a burden for people does is it clarifies vision. One of my mentors growing up said, discipleship, which is a word for making followers of Christ, like helping people become followers of Christ. He said, discipleship is friendship with a vision. Discipleship is friendship with a vision. And what's something that's easy for me to do in my personality, but maybe difficult for some of you to do, but you have to do if you're going to be a part of this uprising, you have got to start to have vision for people. And so that all starts by getting to know them. You get to know people and you understand their life today and you start to go, oh, wow, what if they knew Jesus? Then this would be different. Their relationships would be different. Their work would be different. Their finances would be different. God has the ability to heal that person. God has the ability to change that person's life. God has the ability to mend that broken relationship. And when you understand what God can do in someone's life, then you start to see beyond the moment and go, I want to see this vision carried out in this person's life. And if I don't, it won't. And burdens for people, when you really care about people, you move in an authentic desire to see their lives get better. And here's the truth. If they don't know Christ, that means if they're not like Anaya, whose video came up here and she said, I love Jesus. If they don't have that moment in their life where they've embraced Jesus Christ, then that means that their life can get way better. Way better. And your burden can start to bring vision around that. Another thing, and this is one of the most critical pieces of what a burden does and what a burden can do for you and what it did for Jesus, as he's like, it doesn't matter. I don't care what they think. I want to see her life change. This is what burden does. It does this other piece for us as humans that's completely, like, you will never, ever get to experience this at this level until you embrace the burden of reaching people, and that is confirming God's purpose in your life. Every single one of us are called to follow Christ, and as he left earth, he said, it is your job to go and make disciples. That means that right there, every single person in this room at a level is called and has been given a purpose, has been given a blueprint, has been given direction to go and lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know this is true? No matter what you do, no matter what your job is, the scriptures say whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so that means that you can be a doctor. That means that you can be a carpenter. That means that you can be a baker. That means that you can sell newspapers. Brittany, I see you over there. You can be anything and find your greatest purpose by being a part of leading people into a growing relationship with Christ. When you truly put your heart on people, it starts to bury the excuses. So as I've been talking, I hope that somebody is coming to your mind. And some of you, you know, you might be thinking like, man, Joel, like, I'm not going to go to Samaria. I'm not going to go outside of my way. And I don't want you to think that way. I want you to think more burden than location, because I guarantee you that right now, right where you are, right where you live, there is someone that needs you to engage them in a different way. There is someone that needs you to reach out to them in a different way. And Andy Stanley said, the greatest ministry that you ever do may not be someone who you reach for Christ, but it may be a child who you raise for Christ. And so the first place for all of us to look is home. It's family. It's the first place. The first place for you to look is what God has put right in front of you. Who is right in front of you that you know needs a relationship with Christ? And you move out from there. Who is the coworker? What I want you guys to do right now, and I'm going to give you a minute to do it right now, is I want you to take out your phone right now. Go ahead and take out your phone. Just everybody take out your phone, or if you are from like the 1700s, take out a pencil and a piece of paper. And I want you right now, I just want you to sit for 10 seconds and pray, and then I want someone's name to come to your mind that you have a burden to see their life changed. And I want you to write that name down. Once you've written that name down, just look up at me. But don't you look up at me until you write a name down. That person that you just wrote their name down, that person, their life is in deep trouble unless you move outside of your world into their world, let your burden reach them where they are. They're in trouble. What I want you to do right now is I want you to think about them. I want you to think about how you know Christ and how that's changed your life. And for some of you that are just visiting today, or some of you that are new, I want you to just think, maybe it's not a relationship with Jesus, because for you that's like hard to understand. But I had a conversation with a family that came to our church. They came to our church 3 weeks ago because they knew they needed to come to church because the husband's wife was one of the victims in the machete attack on Hamilton Road. And that family came to our church because they're like, we need to find a place to be. And I ran into them last week at Rusty Bucket after church, and the whole family, including the wife who was the victim, was sitting there in the booth. And I went over and I sat down with them for 10 minutes, and I just looked her in the face and I just said, I'm so grateful that you're okay. I'm so grateful that you're here. And the whole family looked at me and they said, "We're so thankful that we came to church." They said, "We think that church is filling something up inside of us that we've needed this whole time." And so for some of you, it may not be that you may not articulate this burden as a relationship with Jesus, but maybe you can articulate this burden in this person that they need to be at 514 church. And they need to hear the message of the gospel, and they need to sing these songs, and they need to laugh, and they need to be a part of a community of people who will put their arms around them and walk through life with them the way that we do here on Sunday morning and the way that we do in small groups. And if you don't push through that burden and push through those excuses to stop you that would stop you from reaching out to those people, then on Easter, we will not see change the way that we're supposed to see change. No burden, no uprising. You see, the story of John chapter 4 is that Jesus had a burden, and he didn't let the excuses get in the way of the interaction. And the interaction led to a miracle. And the miracle led to a woman running into her town to tell everyone she knew about Jesus. And at the end of the story, all those people rise up out of the village to be a part of Jesus' life and the life that he can give. And my goal, you guys, for 514 Church is that on Easter, that every single one of you that just wrote a name down, that person would come to church, because at church their life can change, because that's where they can meet Jesus Christ. And what we've done here is we have said, we're going to make room, because actually right now at 9:30 and 11:15, our two Sunday morning services, we're pretty full, and Easter is going to be full anyway. So how in the world are we going to have an uprising if we don't make more room? So for Easter weekend only, what we've decided to do is we've decided to have a Saturday night service here at 6:30 p.m. And so what I want you to do right now is I want you to start to think, who will come and what service can I bring them to? A Saturday, 6:30 p.m., or Sunday, our two regular services. Because I am challenging you right now that in some way that you will invite that person to 514 Church. That you will invite them. And don't let the excuses get in the way. Do it. And I'll do it too. Let's pray together. God, this morning, there are so many people, their names are written down right now. Their names are written down in our phones on pieces of paper, and they need you. These people need you. I pray, God, that our burden for these people would overwhelm us, that we would push through any excuse and invite them to church, so that, God, you can do what only you can do through the gathering of your followers. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.